ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पद आनश्रण्वन्नोतिभिस्सिं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ
यस्टर्डे वि सॉ दिस् फोर्थ क्वेश्चन the very opening mantra, the disciple known as Sauryayani Gargyaha presents his questions, a set of questions together as one question. What is that? First he asks, Bhagavan etasmin purushe kani swapanti. What are the organs which are asleep? Organs are asleep, you know, which are non-functional, inactive in dream. Then kani asmin jagrati, which are the organs which are functional, active in dream. Which means in dream there are some organs non-functional, there are some functional. In sleep, except prana, all the organs are non-functional. And in waking, all the organs are totally functional. This is the thing. So we don't need to ask the question, which are the organs functional, which are the non-functional in waking. We don't need to ask. The very question is not relevant. No, the waking state, which are all the organs functional, which are non-functional, the very question is irrelevant, because waking state is, the definition of waking state itself is what? The waking state is that wherein mind, of course, along with the pranas, which are ever functional, the pranas are ever functional. So the along with the prana, which are ever functional, the mind, sense organs, organs of actions, all of them are functional, active in the waking. Only then we call it a waking state. So the question itself is relevant only when the dream, to distinguish the dream from the waking, differentiate the dream from the waking and the deep sleep state, you have to ask, isn't it? So we know the pranas are ever functional, means in deep sleep state also what now? Pranas are functional. Apart from pranas, the mind, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, the sense organs, organs of actions and the antakaranam, all are resolved. So only in dream, you have the question is relevant, isn't it? Which are the organs which are inactive and non-functional? Which are the organs which are functional and active in dream? So the two questions, first two questions. So now you can say, of course, pranas are ever functional, therefore pranas are functional in dream also. Then apart from pranas, who is act functional here? Mind is functional. Apart from pranas, mind and pranas are functional in the in dream. Which are non-functional then? Karmendriyani, jnanendriyani are non-functional. Non-functional, inactive. Therefore, what happens? No activity, physical activity is not there in dream. And also what? Perception, also, perception of the external world also is not there in dream. These are the actual question answers. We are going to see that later on, elaborately here. Then the third question asked was, which is the conscious being, or who is the conscious being, or consciousness principle, which is the conscious being who is experiencing the dream? Who is the experiencer of the dream? Third question. And what is the fourth question? The fourth question is related to, the first three questions are related to the Taijasaha. Taijasaha, the jiva obtaining in dream state is known as Taijasaha. Please remember, I will read it to you again, tell you. Then, Kasya Yetat Sukham Bhavati, who is the experiencer of Sukham in deep sleep state? That is the fourth question. And the fifth question is, all these now remain, all these mentioned here, okay? The sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, which are identified in different states of experience with jiva, with which jiva has identity in three different states of experience. Now all the three worlds of, all the worlds of experience also, all of them exist. Where do all these exist? Jiva shariram and also jiva upadhi. You can say jiva upadhi. The upadhis are different in three different states of experience. Jiva upadhis and the objects of experience obtaining in three different states, all of them, where do they exist? What is the existence or substratum, the locus of all of them? If something is, somebody is, means you can ask the question, where is that person? Where is it placed? What is it actually? You can ask the question like that. What is this deep sleep state experienced? What is it? What is this causal universe? What is this dream universe? What is this waking universe? Where do all these three different worlds, all of them are not experienced simultaneously? Is simultaneously all of them are not experienced? Always experience of one world is what? Devoid of the experience of other worlds also. So all of them are not experienced simultaneously, but all of them are experienced, all the experiences are mutually exclusive. Also discontinuous. All the experiences are mutually exclusive and discontinuous. So which means all the three are experienced, all the three enjoy existence. Which means what is the existence of all these three worlds? Unmanifest world, karna prapancha or subtle universe or the grass universe. Then what about the upadhis, the jiva's upadhi in the waking state? Upadhi means what? Jiva's identity. Is it? Jiva identifies itself with three different bodies in three different things in three different states of experience. Only in the waking jiva identifies itself with the waking body maintenance complex, is it? The waking body. And in dream, jiva's identity is not with the gross body, jiva's identity is only with the dream body maintenance complex. In deep sleep state, jiva's identity is with the karana shariram, causal body, avidya. Therefore, the objects of identity of the jiva are also different. The objects of experience also are different, which means all these threefold objects of identity and threefold objects of experience, all of them, where do they exist? What is the origin? What is the substratum of all of them? That's the last question, which is the fifth question, isn't it? Totally five questions only. That question is related to Turiyaha. So Turiya Sambandhi Prashna, the question related to Turiya is the last one. The question related to Pragyaha is the fourth one. The first three are related to Taijasaha. Okay, before going there, let me make it very clear for all of you. The Jivaha, the individual being, the Jivaha or Jivatma, we use the word, is given three different names. What are the names? Vishwaha, Taijasaha, Pragyaha, okay? Vishwaha, Taijasaha, Pragyaha are three different names given to one jiva. They are not three jivas, are not there. Are there three jivas? No. Only one jiva is given three different names as Vishwaha, Taijasaha, prajnaha. But the three different functional names. So who is that one jiva who is given three different names? The one jiva who is given three different names in three different states of experience, identified with the three different objects. Isn't it? Three different things. The jiva, the difference in name is due to what is it identified with. The jiva is none other than consciousness. The only jivaha who is given three different names is none other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the jivaha, but the jiva is consciousness. Like what? Like water is not the wave, but the wave is water. The reflection of the face in the mirror is of the original face. The reflection in the mirror is of the original face, isn't it? The original face is not the reflection, but the reflection is of the original face only. So jiva is none other than consciousness. But consciousness is not the jiva. Who is jivaha? No doubt. Jiva is atma. Jiva atma is the atma. Consciousness only. And this jivaha, who is nothing but consciousness, is given three different names. Why? Because of its identity. Even the jiva status, jivaha is also status attributed to consciousness. Again, if you ask me, what is a jivaha? Jivaha is a status, temporary status, qualification attributed to consciousness because of its identity. If the jiva is not identified with anything, the jiva status also is not there. Jiva status is attributed to consciousness because of its identity. So jivatvam means what? Jivatvam means the status of being the jiva itself is due to its identity. Is it or no? But this consciousness, this jiva status attributed to consciousness is due to its identity with identity means what is it identified with? In the waking, the jiva is identified with, associated with the gross physical body, the waking. And then the jiva is out now, experiences the gross universe. In the dream, jiva has no identity with the gross physical body. In dream, jiva's identity is only with the subtle dream. Let's say dream. Okay, the dream body mind is complex projected in one's own mind. In dream, is a dream body, dream sense organs, dream, everything is dream. You see yourself in your dream, enjoying a dream body. That is not this body, understand? So in dream, the jiva's identity is with the dream body mind sense complex. In deep sleep state, jiva's identity is neither with the waking body, gross body, nor with the body, the dream body imagines complex, but jiva's identity is only with the avidya. Only the avidya. That too how? That when in the jiva is in deep sleep state, as long as he is in sleep, he doesn't know he is identified with. That he had identity in sleep, he has to recollect only on waking up. Therefore, in keeping with what the jiva is identified with, the object, keeping the object of identity, the names also are given here. So one and the only jiva, who has nothing but consciousness, is given three different names as Vishwaha, Taijasaha, Prajnaha, in keeping with the difference in objects of identity. As gross body, dream body means complex, then avidya. Is it clear now? That must be very clear. So here we are not asked the first question, Vishwas, we are not asking. Okay, in you don't to say in waking all the sense powers are active, in the waking state all the organs of actions are active, in waking pranas are active, in waking mind is totally functional active. You don't need to say that. It's understood. Only in dream the doubts are possible. So the question begins with the dream. And then one thing is very clear, pranas are known. Okay, pranas are ever active. The prana remain resolved only when there is no physical body. Isn't it? The pranas are ever active. So here, this already you know very well. Now there's the first question. So which are the organs which are swapanti, which remain asleep in dream, means which do not function in dream? The answer is what? No, simple answer is Jnanendriyani, Karmendriyani. The five sense powers and five powers of organs of actions are non-functional in dream, that you know very well. So, the answer is given in the second mantra. The first answer for the first question is given in the second mantra. So, he says, the example he gives, when the sun sets, all its rays of light are withdrawn. When the sun sets, just as when the sun sets, all the rays of light are withdrawn and they remain resolved in one sun. Again, when the sun rises, all the rays of light spread out from the sun. In the same way, all these sense powers and powers of organs of actions, they remain resolved in one, as one in mind. And then, again when they, in the waking, all of them become functional and they spread out and they become functional. That is said here in the second mantra. So, very he says, it's a, so yeshaha purushaha nashnoti means he does not hear external noise and na pashyati na jigrati na rasayate na sprushate na abhivadate na adate na nandayate na visrujate. He does not feel, nothing is there. He just gives the verbs, names he mentions. Nothing, no activity, physical activity or no perception takes place. Why? Because the instruments of perception, instruments of actions, they all remain resolved in mind. Okay, this is very clear. Then what next question, next answer, next question? Which are active? He says, mind and pranas are active in, next question comes. Then for the next question, third mantra presents the answer for the second question. The answer for the third mantra. I tell you, the third mantra presents the answer for the third and fourth. Two mantras present the answer for the second question. What second question? Which are active? Which are the organs active and functional in the dream state? For which the question is given, pranagnayaha. The pranas are active, then mind is functional in dream state. Which are non-functional has been said earlier. Now which are functional? Pranas and mind are functional. First question, the first question is, which are the organs non-functional in dream? Made very clear. Karmendriyani, Jnanendriyani. Which are functional? That has been made clear. That is second question. Mind and pranas. According to pranas, you have mentioned, pranas are functional always. The mind is functional in dream. See, in Shastra class, no drinking allowed, no sleeping allowed. If you can't, you are feeling tired, you must respect Shastra, you know. Not. Maybe discipline, it's not a club. finish everything and come here. Even if I bring it all, sometimes I don't drink it, I keep it somewhere there, I don't drink it. So here, my sense mind and pranas are functional in dream. That is answer is very clear, isn't it? In dream, let us take only dream now. In dream, pranas and mind are functional. Other 10 instruments of perception or instruments of actions, otherwise called organs of knowledge and organs of actions, are non-functional. That is my two different questions were asked. The second question is answered in two mantras, third and the fourth mantra. First question is answered in the second mantra. Third and fourth questions are answered in the third question is answered in the third and fourth. Okay, two mantras answer. Why? First, that's what I'm saying here. Listen. Here, it is a poetic, the Upanishad expresses it in a, it's the, differently it's up, presenting here. See, generally in life what happens, if you work very hard for the whole day, whoever does lot of physically, you know, the strenuous work, if you overstrain, if you work hard the whole day, and hard work or physical work or any, you know, any mental work also, mentally, physically, when you exert yourself a lot during the daytime, involving doing a lot of work, naturally you get tired and then you fall asleep. You have a sound sleep. Whoever does, you know, a lot of hard work during the daytime, and that person can have sometimes a very sound, deep sleep. That's general, if we understand the fact. So Upanishad also, what it says, is a beautiful presentation. Understand. See, the pranas are functional all the time, very active. And then the mind also is very active. Mind is active in the waking state. Very active. Mind continues to be active in dream also. So also pranas are very active in the waking and in the dream. So what happens when the pranas and the sense organs, the mind works very active, and actually it takes us to what? Deep sleep state. After dream, you fall asleep. After dream, you fall asleep. Look at the activity in dream, activity in waking on the part of the mind helps the mind to resolve and fall asleep in sleep, deep sleep state. That how it says, it take all the prana, the whole thing here, the dream experience is likened to a performance of a fire ritual. It's a nice way of putting it. In Veda, you will, even if you don't want to learn, you will learn a lot of things here. The whole dream experience is likened to here a fire performance of a fire ritual. The fire ritual I'm telling you like a story, okay? Then I'll take you do the, with the book, the textbook. Before you leave, I see that you all read the textbook and go, okay? Understand now. See how, usually when you perform a fire ritual, what are all the things involved in the performance of fire ritual? First thing is Yajamanaha. Yajamanaha means the one for whose sake Sankalpam is done. Yajamanaha means the worshipper. The worshipper of the worshipper, the performer of the ritual is called worshipper. Yajamanaha is Shanach Pratyanta Shabda. Yajate means performs a ritual or worships. Yajamanaha means worshipper or performer of a ritual. Then there must be what definitely? There must be fire. The fire means, then there must be the hota. Hota is one who performs the ritual. See, the yajamana is different. The hota means one who offers oblations into the fire. the offerer of oblations into the fire, the priest. Hota or Ritvik. Ritvik. I want to learn all these words. Ritvik or Hota are the names given to the performer of a ritual, which means the one who offers oblations into the fire. So Yajamanaha, the worshipper, the performer of the ritual. But actually sitting there, the priest who offers oblations into the fire is called Hota or Ritvik. Ritvik, Rishiri, Ritvik. Ritvik. It's very interesting to know this. Very nice, beautifully put here. Lot of thinking has gone. You'll see how it is. What Havanadi wants to say that. Very nice. See, Ritvik. Then the oblations, Ahuti. Oblations, Ahutihi. Ahutihi. See, Yajamanaha, Hota, then Ahutihi. Ahutihi means what? Oblations. Ahutihi. So the performer of the ritual, the offerer of oblations into the fire, then the ahutihi, the oblations, the things which are put into the fire. Then the phalam. Once you perform the ritual, there must be benefit now, fruit must be there. Now the punya phalam, punya phalam, punya phalam. So punya phalam should take you to what? To sort of some higher loka, is it? The punyam translated into what? The enjoyment of pleasure, isn't it? That phalam. Punya phalam, you earn the punyam, then that punyam has to be translated into the object of enjoyment. The punyam translated into the object of enjoyment. That object of enjoyment. Okay, now listen. These five pranas here are like into the five different fires. Names are there. Names of fires. Names of fire is only one. Fires we don't say in English. Because when you kindle a fire to perform a given ritual, we give a name to the fire also. For example, there is a particular ritual to perform when you see, there's a particular Agnihotram. To perform the Agnihotram ritual, when the fire is kindled, that fire is called Avahaniyaha Agnihi. Avahaniya Agnihi. Avahaniya Agnihi. Avahaniya Agnihi. Avahaniya Agnihi is a name given to the fire kindled when Agnihotram ritual is performed. Lot of information. Only now you feel bored. Now first be nice. Avahaniya Agnihi is the name given to the fire kindled when the Agnihotram ritual is performed. See, Agnihotram is a ritual which is performed every day. So, then later on, which has been maintained forever. This Avahaniya Agnihi is an Agni which is maintained throughout one's life. It never gets put off. Every day the person performs and he maintains the fire. That fire is maintained throughout one's life. See, fire can put off only two occasions. Now one, when the person dies or when he becomes sannyasi. When the person dies, that fire will get put off. Or he will hand over to somebody, it will be continued by his son or somebody else. Or if person takes to sannyasa, then the fire can be put off. Otherwise, that is always maintained. As one fire name, okay? Then, Garhapatyagnihi. Garhapatyagnihi. We have Garhapatyagnihi. Actually, the Garhapatyagni is the one which is maintained. See, Garhapatyagni is the name given to the fire kindled when one performs Agnihotram. Okay? No. Yeah. Garhapatyagni. Avahaniya Agnihi is a name given to fire kindled to perform some ritual. But Garhapatyagnihi is the name. Garhapatya Agnihi is the name given to the fire kindled when one performs Agnihotra. I'll repeat it. See, Garhapatya Agnihi is a name given to fire when the fire is kindled to perform one particular ritual. Avahaniya Agnihi, isn't it? Avahaniya Agnihi, first name. Second name I give you, Garhapatya Agnihi. Garhapatya Agnihi is the name given to the fire kindled when one performs Agnihotra. This Garhapatya Agnihi, see, Griham means house. Garhapatya means what? The ritual to be performed every day choicelessly by a householder is called Agnihotram. Okay? Agnihotram is a ritual to be performed by a householder after marriage. From day one, the person gets married. As a householder, one has to perform this ritual called Agnihotram. Agnihotram is the Vedic form of worship. Every day thanking Bhagavan for all that one is blessed with. The food to eat, the water to drink, the shelter to live, the clothing to wear, and all that we are blessed with. So when a person gets married, from day one he gets married, he is supposed to start performing this ritual called Agnihotram. And then this, to perform the ritual Agnihotram, he has to have the fire. First he has to kindle the fire. That fire kindle on the day of marriage, he must have got it from his father who would have been performing the ritual for ages. Once he takes the fire from his father, he kindles the fire, then that fire will be there throughout his life. It never gets put off. Maintain every day, has to kindle the same fire and it has to perform the ritual. And that's called Garhapatya Agnihi. Garhapatya Agnihi. Garhapatya Agnihi is the name given to the fire kindled to perform Agnihotram ritual from the day of marriage. A householder. This should not be performed by a sannyasi or for a brahmachari. Brahmachari is not eligible to perform Agnihotram. A sannyasi is not eligible to perform any ritual. Okay? No ritual. No Agni. That's why sannyasi is called Niragnihi. Understand? You can't perform any ritual. So this Agnihotram, this Garhapatya Agnihi is something which is maintained throughout one's life. When the person dies, they will take fire from this to cremate him. Suppose the person becomes sannyasi, then it must have been handed over to somebody, or nobody is there to continue after him, then it may get put off. Otherwise, it can never be put off. That is one, it's completely irrelevant for you. Okay? But still, I'm just telling you, for you nice to know. At least Agnihotram, what is Agnihotram? This we studied in Mundaka Upanishad also. What is Agnihotram? What is Garhapatya Agnihi? Nice. Then another fire is called what? Avahaniya Agnihi, which I already told. Okay, next one. I'll tell you all this thing. I'll tell you all the three fires, you should not mistake. Then Dakshinagnihi. Dakshinagnihi. Dakshinagnihi has two names actually. Or Dakshina Agnihi. Dakshinagnihi It's all discipline, you know. Everything, learning to understand everything is a discipline by itself. Upanishad simply diverts to keep us informed of things. Dakshinagnihi, or it's also called Anvaharya Pachanaha. You can write Anvaharya Pachanaha within brackets, okay? Dakshinagnihi, otherwise known as Anvaharya Pachanaha. Pachanaha. Anvaharya Pachanaha. Anvaharya Pachanaha. So you have three names now. Ahavaniyagnihi. Then Garhapatyagnihi, Dakshinagnihi, or Anvaharya Pachanaha. Okay. Now who represents what you need to know? That's just Dakshinagni, just one name given to a fire when some particular ritual is performed. The name is not mentioned. That's which is Agnihotam is very important, that's why I mentioned. Yeah. See, there are so many names given to fire when you kindled for a given particular performance of a ritual. Agnihotram is very common, you should know. Because from this the Garhapatya Agni alone, any other ritual a householder performs, he will take fire only from the Garhapatya Agni. Suppose if somebody performs a new another ritual, which occasionally performed rituals, he will take fire only from here to kindle the new fire. That's why Garhapatya Agni is very important to know. So whatever Shankar Bhagavad mentions, I am just giving you the information. Just know what is Dakshinagnihi. If you say Anvahare Pachanaha, you say it's a name given to the fire kindled to perform some specific ritual. But this Garhapatyagnihi is specifically mentioned, is a name given to the fire when it is kindled to perform specifically Agnihotram ritual. Why? Because for any ritual, you have to take fire only from the, like one candle you light. Then for any other number of candles, you have to light from one candle, first candle, isn't it? Like this, this Garhapatya Agnihi helps to kindle fire to perform any other ritual. That's what that one you need to know. That is maintained throughout one's life. You know, that's why Nitya Agnihotri means the performance of Nitya Agnihotram. The proper Vedikas who are given to that, you know, every day Surya Namaskaram is important. Every day Nityahotam is important because they will not move out of the house without praying to Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan. How do they worship in Vedic period? Agnihotram. It's a must. It is a must. No excuse, no choice. So wherever they won't go out, wherever they go out, they have to come back in the evening. Discipline. So you can't get lost anywhere, okay? The wife is very comfortable. No? Wherever this fellow goes, comes back in the evening, why next day he has to perform Agnihotram? Really, these are very difficult. Where you can't go out anywhere, and you can't eat also as whatever you want. If he packs and goes, eats and comes back, or comes back and eats at home. There are a lot of disciplines. So I tell you, very strict discipline. Very nice, no? In villages even today, you can hardly find some people. Agnihotra performers. What Swamiji said? He said, "I want you to do one thing." Because he knew I was in contact with the many, many, many Sanskrit scholars. So he said, I think you are the one, you have to organize this for me, he said. We will have Smriti Pandita Sammelanam. We will have the conference of Smriti Panditas. He said, certain Smritis now we have to rewrite, consulting all the whole people will have this, he said. And then I will fund it, don't worry, you do it. First I'll give 5 lakh rupees, you take and travel all over India and meet the people and then organize this for me. I said, okay. And then I started in South India first. Okay, first I went to Trichy, Tanjavur. I started from there. And then, we don't have scholars. There's some Sanskrit scholars who know Mimamsa, who know some Vyakaranam, Atarka, but not Smriti Panditas are not there. Then I went to Andhra Pradesh. And I researched in villages and Agraharams, all the Brahmin areas. I was going to go to Banaras and all that. Okay, and also made contact with Banaras University, other places. And I went to Karnataka. Karnataka, I searched. Then Kerala also I went to. Amazing to see different agraharams of different the South India. I traveled a lot, but I didn't take any money from Swamiji that time. I just said, okay, if we do Swamiji, then I'll take money. Because let me see how it progresses. Swamiji thought, no, Pishacha, you have to give some work. When I was, that time when I was much younger, you know, I had to find where all we can go for trekking to Nandini there. Like the Swamiji thought, he should entertain me. You know, Swamiji thought he should engage me with something very important, which I love to do. So I'm just telling, it's natural for, you know, Swamiji knows how to tap, isn't it? So he wanted to get such a big work, so I'll be busy with that. And then going to scholars also is not an easy joke. You have to be very careful. You go to elderly Vaidikas, elderly 70, 90, 80 and all, they'll be there. And you have to go, you can't just walk in. You have to wait, talk to them, with all politeness, humility, and they may say anything, no? All those things are there. It's nice, really, to go. How along with the Panditya, they'll be high, you know, really, they'll be very demanding people. Nice to go and see. So I met some of them. Then Kerala, I came to know one thing. First condition, one person put. No, at last I found one person Kerala who offered to come. They can't come. Okay, I can come, but I have to go this time because I have to go and perform the Agnihotram. And then he said, first of all, I will not use any borewell water. I need a well where I can draw water from the well. First negative point, okay? Which I can't provide in Coimbatore. Then he said, and then I have to have my own. Okay, that I can organize, not a problem. All the ingredients for cooking and all that, I'll cook my food and I'll eat myself. I will not touch anybody else's food cooked. So I thought, where can I have, where is the well, where people can draw and all that. So I find how to, finally, one of my distant relatives was the trustees of this trust. So they have a farmhouse where there's a well, where you can draw water also. But there's also borewell. Okay, we had to have pumps. No pumps, it is there, he will not touch the water, he said. Then one person I saw, he's very old, every hair speaks Shastram, but he can't travel. How to bring him? Somebody has to take him, Allah. And I'm like, you know, I had to send a helicopter to bring him. I had to send a helipad to bring him, really speaking. A lot of difficulties. Then at last, I told Swamiji, we had dropped this idea. It only one program Swamiji asked me to organize, I did not organize. I organized many things which he told me, but this one thing we could not succeed. At least it gave us the knowledge. We do not have any more Smriti Panditas. We don't have many Smriti Panditas at all in India. Smriti's Jnanam is becoming extinct. Some books are there in university, Albatross University. Some universities have the books, but not just becoming extinct. That I could understand. But I met a few people. That's a nice experience. You know, traveling to Sringeri, all Karnataka, Agraharams. And I could see the difference in Kerala Brahmanas. Now, Tamil Nadu Brahmanas are, of course, known to us. And what about other people in Andhra Pradesh? Well, Andhra Pradesh, I could relate to very easily. Very easy for me because I've seen people in Coimbatore, our own people. But what about other people in other areas? Isn't it? The Orissa Pandas, I happened to contact a few. Finally, I found out we have scholars for grammar, tarka, mimamsa, but Smriti Panditas are not there. Like that. And then the demands are very difficult because they have to strictly follow discipline. That's why they can't compromise with anything. In a way, that is how once upon a time in Vedic period, all the Vedikas, when all of them were performing the Agnihotram, they must have lived a very clean, disciplined life. In their own places, doing their duties, isn't it? I don't know how it would have been. You can't imagine anyway. So what I want to say here, Agnihotram, from Agnihotram I have gone somewhere else. Okay, let me come back to the teaching now. So in this mantra, this particular activities are happening, isn't it? Activities are happening, so all pranas are functioning. So all the pranas are likened to different fires. The different prana, the different functions of pranas are likened to different fires. Let me tell you now. Let me see how it is presenting in the Upanishad, in the mantra. See what it says. Please understand here. So pranaha, the inhaled air. You know, the prana, the inhaled air, exhaled air, prana, the exhaled air. Exhaled, or carbon dioxide. Pranaha, here, is the exhale, exhalation, function of exhalation. Prana is likened to Ahavani Agnihi. Ahavani Agnihi. Ahavani Agnihi. Okay. Then Apanaha, the inhalation or inhaled, that Apana Prana is likened to Garhapatya Agnihi. Apana is inhaled, okay? See, Ado Gamanavan Apanaha, Prag Gamanavan Pranaha. Prana is equal to Ahavani Agnihi, Apana is equal to Garhapatya Agnihi. Then Vyanaha, circulation, likened to Dakshin Agnihi. So imagination. Imagine each prana to be a fire. Okay? Dakshinagnihi, three. Then, Samanaha is not fire here. Like, who is the one who offer oblations? When the fire is kindled, you have to offer oblations, na? Then only the flame can come. For all the flames to be there, there must be what? Fuel must be offered, isn't it? The, who is the offerer of the oblations? Samanaha. Samanaha, Samana Prana, is the Hota, or Ritvik, the offerer of oblations. The Samana Prana, who digests the food and sends the oblations to all the fires, isn't it? See, circulation is possible, blood circulation is possible, only the blood is there, isn't it? How can there be blood if there's no food? Food goes into the digestive system, then Samana digests, only then there can be blood. Only then there can be respiration happen, isn't it? Inhalation, exhalation can happen only if there is energy already. Only if there is a blood circulation. For which the food has to be digested first, isn't it? Therefore, Samanaha is said to be the offerer of oblations, the Ritvik, Hota. I'm not very fast. Samanaha is equal, Samana is likened to the Hota, the Ritvik, the offerer of oblations. See, the inhalation, exhalation can happen, circulation can happen only if there is energy first of all, isn't it? For which you need food has to go, the food energy has to be supplied. And who does it? Samana. Then once it goes, it must produce what now? When the offerer offers oblations, the flames are created, then there must be punyam, na? The ritual must produce punyapalam. The punyapalam, udana prana. Udanaha stands for punyapalam. Why? The punyapalam only will take you where? Higher rokas. Udana prana takes. Udana prana is the one who takes the jiva, who stands for the jiva going to higher lokas. Isn't it? So udanaha is equivalent to who now? The punya phalam created by a ritual. Punya phalam produced by the performance of ritual is symbolized by what now? The udana prana. Udana is likened to the punyapalam. Yesterday we saw now how udana alone takes after when the prarabdha is over. In keeping with the punyam or papam, udana takes it to higher loka or to adho loka or to manushya loka. The third mantra only. It's all explained, beautifully presented here. See, like the punyapalam is what? Udana. Udana is equal to punyapalam. Then, who is the yajamana? Who has to enjoy this phalam? Who organizes this ritual? Who does sankalpam, isn't it? Who is the who yajamana is the one who has to enjoy the benefit of performing the ritual, isn't it? The actual performer, organizer of the ritual is a yajamana, isn't it? He has to enjoy the benefit. He gives dakshina to hota. He gives dakshina to hota. He gets all the havis. Therefore, finally, who enjoys the palam? Yajamana. So, yajamana is manaha, mind. See, you will see, finally you will see how beautiful it is. Amazing imagination. Mind is the yajamana. Mind is the yajamana. If you go and listen to Tamil, the Vedanta, they will say, the samaninnam in the hota, avisellam, and they will tell the story like this. The manaminnam yajamanan pohiran. So the mind is the yajamana. The mind yajamana, now, what is okay? He goes where now? The mind has to go to Surgaloka. Yajamana has to go to Surgaloka. Udana Prana, Indiam Punyam, has to take the Yajamana mind to where? Worshipper to the higher loka. What is the Surgaloka here? What is the Vamaloka here? Surgaloka. Higher loka is what? Sushuptihi. Deep sleep state is the higher loka. You see the beauty of it. I'll tell you something. Why Upanishad gives this, presents this teaching, that you will see. What is Swargaloka? The object of enjoyment one attains as a result of punyam, one has earned by performing a ritual, is the final, isn't it? That is the higher loka. And the higher loka here is what? Brahma loka, isn't it? That is Sushuptihi. Sushupti is likened to what? Brahma loka. That is the desired object of enjoyment. Ishtapalam, isn't it? That is the desired object of enjoyment. Sushupti means deep sleep state. Deep sleep, one enjoys. Deep sound disturbance free sleep one enjoys is likened to Brahmaloka. And who goes there? Yajamana the mind. For the Yajamana the mind to go there, he must have what? Punyam. Why? Punyam is the carrier of the Yajamana to the Surgaloka. And who is the carrier? Punyam carrier? Udana. And who is the offerer of oblations in this ritual? Samana. So what all rituals happening here? Inhalation, exhalation, circulation, inhalation, exhalation, circulation, inhalation, exhalation, circulation. This constantly happens. This is a ritual. Got it now? Is it clear? Yeah, Brahma Loka. Make it Brahma Loka. Higher Loka, I said. No, it's not only you offer oblations. See the beauty now. The hota offers oblations. Who is the hota here? Samana. Samana gives food. Country supplies food. Keeps on fuel supply. Fuel for the ritual supplied by Samana Prana. And the fuel is consumed by what? These inhalation, exhalation, circulation constantly happening. And this is a ritual hard work, isn't it? Thereby what happens now, as a result of this ritual, punyam is produced. That punyam, who is the punyam? One who punyam is the carrier. Punyam alone carries you to higher loka. Who is the punyam here? Udana prana. Udana is the punyam, which carries you to higher loka. And who is taken there? Yajamana. Who organized the whole thing, who spent money for this. Isn't it? Another who sat with focus attention. That person. Yajamana is the mind. And that mind, who is the loka then? Sushupti. Deep sleep. Isn't it? Deep sound sleep is the Brahma loka. Now, the idea is, if you ask, what is the logic here? In fact, really speaking, we don't need to know the logic. Simply you can understand and go. But still, Upanishad in this context gives you the logic also. See, in deep sleep state, what happens? Everyone is held, caught up by what? Avaranam and Vikshepa in the waking, and also in dream. Whereas in deep sleep state, one has only Avaranam. Only Ajnanam is there. Only ignorance is there. Avidya is there. See, deep sleep state and in Jnanam, two things I have to see. In Jnanam also, in the knowledge of the ascertained vision of the reality also, Ahankara is resolved, isn't it? When Ahankara is resolved, what is there? Only Brahma. When Ahankara is resolved, only Brahman is there. This vision of only Brahman being there is the attainment of the vision of clear, doubt-free vision of only Brahman being there is called what? Brahma Praptihi. Attainment of Moksha Praptihi. Moksha, attainment of Brahman means what? Attainment of Brahman, attainment of Moksha, Brahma Praptihi. Moksha Praptihi means being endowed with the ascertained vision of everything being only Brahman being there. Is it clear? That is Brahma Praptihi. And in that Brahma Prapti, what happens? Ahankara is cognitively resolved for good. Ahankara is resolved for good, isn't it? See, when Ahankara is resolved, there is moksha. The whole samsara is not because of what? In Ahankara, when Ahankara is there, is isolation, separation, there is duality, then there is bondage and limitation. Samsara. When Ahankara is resolved, listen to me carefully, when Ahankara is resolved, then there is no duality, there is no separation, isolation, there is no limitation, there is moksha, there is Brahma Praptihi. In Jnanam. Isn't it? But in deep sleep state also, please listen to me carefully. In deep sleep state also, what happens? In deep sleep state also, please listen to me very carefully. Please listen to me carefully. In deep sleep state also, there is no knowledge aham. Ahankara is temporarily resolved. In deep sleep state also is what now? Ahankara is resolved. This particular idea is mentioned in Chandogyam and Brihadaranyakam everywhere. In deep sleep state, mother is not a mother, father is not a father, the dog or elephant is not a dog or elephant. Okay, even a thief or a rogue is not a rogue, Mahan is not a Mahan. In sleep, what are you? In sleep, there is no self-identity, isn't it? In sleep also, Ahankara is resolved temporarily. In Jnanam also, Ahankara is resolved cognitively. In knowledge, there is a cognitive resolution of Ahankara, wherein Avidya is not there. That is Brahma Prapti. In sleep, Ahankara is resolved, isn't it? Temporarily, not cognitively, but avidya is still there. But whenever ahankara is resolved, what is there? What is there in sleep? Who is there in sleep? Only Brahma. In sleep also, Brahman alone is there. In knowledge also, Brahman alone is there. In sleep also, there is Advaita Anubhavaha. But remember one thing. In sleep, Advaita Anubhavaha is there. In sleep, non-dual experience is there. Brahman experience is there. Brahman Jnanam is not there. In sleep, what is not there? You need not work very hard to have non-dual experience. Advaita Anubhavartham, you need not do any karma. What do you need to do? Fall asleep, it is enough. Don't sleep now, okay? if you want Advaita Anubhava, wait for 12:30, can I give you time to go and sleep? So Advaita Anubhava, the non-dual experience, Brahman experience, all of us have. There's nobody who has not who hasn't experienced non-Brahman experience. You don't need to work very hard to have experienced Brahman. Brahma Anubhavaha, Advaita Anubhavaha is there every day in sleep. If you meditate in Samadhi, people have Advaita Anubhava. But what is not there in Samadhi, what is not there in deep sleep state is Advaita Jnana. The knowledge of non-duality, knowledge of reality is not there. But non-dual experience is there. But only thing is, in sleep, ignorance also is there. In sleep, along with the avidya, non-dual experience is there. In knowledge, you have what? You have the knowledge of the non-duality. In sleep, Advaita Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam is not there. But Brahma Anubhavaha is there. What is there in sleep when the Ahankara is resolved? Brahman is there in sleep or not? So where are you? Are you Brahman in sleep or not? You are Brahman in sleep. You are Brahman in waking. You are Brahman in dream. But you do not know you are Brahman. In jnanam also you are Brahman, but you know you are Brahman. Is it clear now? In sleep, you are Brahman, not knowing you are Brahman. Why? You do not look at yourself as an individual in sleep. Okay. In waking, even though you are Brahman, you look at yourself as the wrong identity is not there in sleep. In waking, you look at yourself as an individual. In dream, you look at yourself as a dream individual. In sleep, you do not look at yourself as an individual. Why? You don't have any identity in dream, in sleep, deep sleep state. Is it clear? In deep sleep state, you do not have any identity because you do not even know you are. Therefore, no identity. Therefore, you are Brahman without knowing you are Brahman. In waking and dream, even though you are Brahman, you are not Brahman because you have strong identity. The error is there, isn't it? In deep sleep state, there is no erroneous perception of yourself. What is the blessing now? In deep sleep state, why we all like deep sleep state? Because there is no error in your perception of the world and of yourself. Therefore, there is no reactions. There is no passion, aversion. There is no ragadvesha. Why in sleep? Why can't you have ragadveshas in sleep? You don't have passion, aversion, likes and dislikes in sleep. Because there is no jagat for you. Why there is no jagat? Because you are not there. In sleep, you are not there means what? You are not there knowing yourself. You are there, but you are there not knowing you are. Is it clear? Now, there is no identity. So when there is no identity, when there is no perception, there is neither right perception nor wrong perception in sleep. There is neither right perception cannot be there. Wrong perception also is not there in sleep. See, if the wrong perception is resolved, there is sukham. In sleep, when you are free from wrong perception, there is sukham. But for in waking also not to have wrong perception, you need jnanam. In sleep, you don't have any wrong perception. So in sleep, ajnanam is there. Got the point what I'm saying? Therefore, In sleep, there's no wrong perception of one's own self. There's no wrong perception, there's no perception of anything at all. Therefore, there's no pairs of opposites, no turbulence. Therefore, there is sukham. Got it? No, take me, it's such a small lesson, but take me step by step. Why I'm emphasizing? Because Upanishad mentions this. And this particular aspect is mentioned in all Upanishads. Brihadaranyakam and Chandogyam, if something is said in those two Upanishads, we have to say, just bow to and accept the fact. So just a small hint is given. But you can't remain ignorant and experience sukham all the time like this, isn't it? Therefore, in waking also, while experiencing also, you have to say what? You have to resolve the wrong perception. Only in resolving wrong perception, there is sukham. To resolve the, where is sukham? Perspective change, there is sukham. So, to resolve the wrong perception, you need to resolve ajnanam. Therefore, very close. In sleep, you have Advaita Anubhava, you are Brahman. Whenever wrong perception is not there, you are Brahman. In jnanam also, wrong perception is not there, you are Brahman. In ajnanam also, you are Brahman in sleep when the wrong perception is not there. Even though you are Brahman always, because of your wrong perception, being Brahman, you are not Brahman in waking and dream. You are never anything other than Brahma. You got the point? Something very interesting to know. Therefore, Upanishad says here, why can't we say this? Brahma Prapti, he wants to poetically present the deep sleep as what now? Where there is some temporary sukham is there, where there is Advaita Anubhava is there, that deep sleep Upanishad wants to present is at what? Brahma Praptihi. Sushuptihi is what? In the deep sleep is like what? Brahma Prapti. When is Brahma Prapti? When are you Brahman? Whenever you don't have wrong perception, wrong identity. Wrong identity is not there when there's no wrong perception. Wrong perception is not there because of jnanam in waking. But wrong perception is not there in because of total ignorance in deep sleep state. Is it clear? But only difference between jnanam and sushupti is what? In sushupti, avidya is there. In jnanam, avidya is not there. Therefore, he says, it is like when you work very hard, the whole day, strain, no? Really, you exert yourself too much, physically, mentally, and naturally, you fall asleep, you have very sound sleep. In the same way here, in the waking, the pranas are very active. And of course, pranas can be active there also. Mind also is very active. Mind sits through the whole yajna ritual. The mind are sitting there. Mind is very functional, very active the whole day. Mental strain, isn't it? So much to think, so much to do. And also in dream. And then what happens? Result of hard work of being functional through in two different states. What happens finally? Then mind goes to, that is the mind is what now? Mind is the yajamana. And he is taken to deep sleep Brahmaloka. Where mind resolves in, mind is Brahman. Got the point now? Understood or not?
Yes.
Brahma Prapti means attainment of Brahman.
Brahma Prapti is
there. No. Deep sleep is likened to Brahma Prapti. Likened to Brahma Prapti. Attainment of Brahma Loka. Why do you call loka? Because you call like your whole, all the functions are likened to the performance of a ritual here. This is a poetic, figurative expression, the presentation of the Shruti, isn't it? Shruti likes all this. This is like how personifying, this is like this. Always many things are likened to performance of ritual. Yeah, Ajnanam is there. Avaram is Ajnanam. I instead of using the word Avaram, I should use the word Avidya. Ajnanam, yeah. Is there. Is it clear now? See, just I need not tell you this much. This may not elaborate, but I elaborate on this just to make you understand where is samsara. Samsara is not caused by Ajnanam. Even when Ajnanam is there, still Sukham is there. Know why? If Ajnanam is the cause of Dukkham, in deep sleep state also you must be very sorrowful. In deep sleep state, there is no Dukkham. So Ajnanam is not responsible for, even though Ajnanam is the root cause, actual Dukkham, samsara, is because of the error in perception. So perspective change alone is needed. But perspective change requires jnanam. Understand? The error in the perception is caused by ignorance. Therefore, ignorance is the root cause, we say. Ignorance by itself directly is not the cause for dukkham. In deep ajnanam is there is no dukkham. Ignorance is. But ignorance is the cause of wrong, erroneous perception. Therefore, we say ignorance is the root cause. There's no way. You have to resolve ignorance to have the right perspective, to have the perspective change. Therefore, we have to resolve the ajnanam in the waking. See, that one small part, to drive home one small thing, ajnanam is not directly cause of samsara. Even though ajnanam is said to be the root cause of samsara, bondage, limitations and sorrow. What you need is the perspective change. For the perspective change, you have choiceless end is what? To resolve ajnanam by jnanam. To make that is later on has been said now. But that for that, which is presents the whole thing. What is avahani agnihi, ahavani agnihi, garhapati agnihi, you know, dakshin agnihi, all these agnis names are mentioned. Prana, apana, vyana, involved in exhalation, inhalation and circulation constantly are happening. For this to happen constantly, there must be fuel supply, and that is done by samana prana, huta and yajamana manaha. Finally what now? As a result of that, udana is the punyam who carries you to brahma loka, which is a brahma praptihi. What is Brahma Loka here? Sushupti, deep sleep. And what happens to Manaha? Sukham. Mind experiences what? Mind enjoys what? Sukham. How? Being non-different from Brahman. Just mind is one with Brahman. Without any isolation, identity. Is it clear now? That is not Advaita Jnanam, that Advaita Anubhavaha. Advaita Jnanam is the real moksha. Advaita Anubhavaha is time-bound moksha. Apekshika moksha. Sleep, samadhi, death, you have what now? Advaita Anubhava. That's why if you don't need to worry, oh my God, if I die, what will happen to me? If you want to know, you will exactly be how you are in sleep after death. what will happen to me after death, how I will be after death. If you want to know, I can promise, I can write and give you. You cannot come back and question me, I can answer you. But Satyam, because why I am saying how authoritative, because Shastram says how you will be after death, how I will be after death, means how we are all in sleep. It's the same way we will be after death. And after our, again, Punya Papa, if you are born again with a new body, mind and complex, again you start a fresh life, like how you started this life. Not knowing anything. Why this parents, why this place, why this mummy, why this daddy, why these brothers and sisters, why this water, why this... You are born. Again you start. Again because samskara, you will again stumble upon some Vedanta teacher. Because some punyam you already earned, you can't help now. You entered into Vedanta classes, it will continue. If you attain jnanam, no, if you really, we wish, we pray, this Navaratri time, that Saraswati Mata, we all have jnanam, this Janma itself. If you miss also, don't need to worry, you will come back with the same Upanishad book. And then suddenly you will feel, oh, you ketamar irukkudhe. Understand? This is the presentation. So what actually said is, what a simple question is what? Which are all the organs active in dream state? To say that such a big story is presented. Is not relevant. Okay, story, simply the story is like a story is presented. Pranas are ever active. So they are active in dream. Apart from prana, who else is active? Which other indriyani are active? Only manaha. Mind is active. And all the 10 are asleep. Two questions have been answered. Is it clear now? And second question is answered, the small story. Not a story, isn't it? It's a poetic presentation of the Upanishad. Ahavani, all mentioned, all names are mentioned here, don't worry. When I give you the book, I'll tell you everything, you make it correct it. See, when if I read the book now, you will enjoy it. Now you know the story now? Look at this. Yet uchvasaha, nishvasaha, etau eva ahutihi, samam nayatiti samanaha, manaha vava yajamanaha. All mentioned here. I have told you already. The mantra says the same thing. Now we read the mantra. Ishta phalam eva udanaha. Yajamanam ahar ahar brahmanayati. Every day udana prana. See, udana prana every day takes you to brahmaloka. Every day you are taken to brahmaloka. But only you don't attain Kramukti there. If you come back, you don't to Swargaloka, every day go to Swargaloka, enjoy what now? So no, it is no pairs of opposites, no ragadvesha. There's no desirable, no undesirable. See, desirable also will cause agitation. Undesirable also will cause agitation. So anything agitates is what? Anything cause agitation is dukkham. Anything which keeps you peaceful means what? No dukkham. Agitation, mental agitation is possible only if there is raga and dvesha, passion or aversion. Desirability, undesirability, raga or dvesha are possible only if there is experience. Experience is there. Experience means there is, isn't it? There is identity, perception. Only if there is perception, the ragadvesha are possible. Perception itself is not there. Perception of what? Perception of the external world is impossible. Why? Perception of yourself also is not there. Neither right perception nor wrong perception of yourself. And what is the cause of the agitation being not there? Wrong perception is not there. is clear. So Sri Upanishad says, every day Udanaha Yajamanam Manaha Brahma Gamayati, every day takes it to Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka means what? Sukham. That Sukham he experiences likened to what? Sushupti Sukham. The bliss one experiences every day in sleep is likened to what? Brahma Loka Sukham. Brahma Sukham. The Sukham which is experienced as a result of non-dual experience. So here made it very clear, if we are not interested in non-dual experience, which is the Brahman experience, we are interested in Brahma Jnanam, not Anubhava. Understand? So don't wait for experience and then working very hard practicing meditation. People will come and tell you, we practice meditation for experiencing Brahman. Okay? We don't need Brahman experience, we need Brahman Jnanam. For which you need not do meditation, you need to do Shravanam. Okay. It's all extra, unnecessary, I am telling all these things. Okay? Now, these answers are given in what? Third and fourth mantra together answers the second question. Mantra, second mantra, third mantra together answer the second question, which are all functional. Is it clear? Totally, as I said, both the questions are answered in three mantras, second, third and fourth. Is it clear? Now we'll go to the next mantra, next question. Any doubts here? Okay. What is the next question I asked? Because I didn't want to bring in the book, I just noted the points.
Two expenses.
Next important question. Who is, see, kaha devaha swapnan pashyati? Who is the experiencer of the dream? Immediately we'll all say what? Taijasaha. Isn't it? But we'll give a different answer here, okay? The conscious effulgent being who is experiencing the dream is the mind. First of all, understand mind is a conscious being. Okay? The conscious being who experiences the dream is who? Manaha. See, this is different. This, you have to understand how it is. If okay, now Upanishad does not answer the question. We have to add this question. Who is the experienced then? If the experiencer obtaining in dream state is the mind, the conscious being, I'm not saying consciousness, okay? The conscious, I did not use the word consciousness. I'm saying conscious. Okay, adjective only I'm saying. Conscious being, enjoying the status of being experienced, the conscious being who experiences the dream objects, the dream world, the dream, is the manaha. So we have to supply another question, that manaha is the conscious being who experiences the dream. Who is the experienced? What is the experienced dream world then? The experienced dream world also is the mind. Experiencer, the conscious being who experiences the dream is the mind. And this conscious being, mind, experiences what? Its own greatness, its own glories, its own beauty. So in dream, what all the experiences sees, whatever has been seen, experienced, heard, smelt, tasted, perceived, and whatever is not perceived in this Janma, in this life, whatever has been seen, whatever has not been seen in this Janma, whatever has not been experienced and not experienced in this life, everything one sees in one's dream. Which means, whatever has been unseen, how can it dream? If you have not experienced, if you are dreaming anything which you have not experienced, seen in this Janma, Shastram says definitely you must have experienced in some other Janma. Which means, in some other life, the dream is always of things which you have experienced either in this life or in some other life, somewhere sitting in your subconscious only surfaces. The dream is a replaying of what you have already recorded and stored in your subconscious without your knowledge. It's something like, now I went to one house, and then a big recording, so many, the gramophone, I saw the olden days, variety, they have got the latest, the Apple computer, the players, and the before, and the previous 10 years ago, what, but then they love this, no? In Coimbatore, people are crazy. They have the car exhibition also. You know, whatever cars they have been collecting from the breakdown for the times, they put all the cars in one place, there's a car exhibition. And they keep all these things also. Old things they keep, old recorders and gramophones and the CDs and cassettes. I said, what is this? You know, olden days. What old recordings and cassettes and CD, they come, everything is there. And they don't even know what all they have collected in their house. If you had to go, they don't even know. It must be there, we can go and search if you want, they said once. Everything they have. So many old collections, they collected so much, they forgot what all they have also. They don't even remember what all they have. Like that, we have gone through lots of experience in many Janmas, okay, and then, you know, without our knowledge, what we have stored all our experience in our subconscious bank. And what happens whenever something similar situation occurs, it gets triggered, surfaces. In the same way, from subconscious, the dream, whatever you experience in dream, it must have been experienced in this Janma. Or, if it has not been experienced in Janma, it must have been experienced in some other lives also. So, Upanishad mentions it, drishtam, adrishtam, anubhutam, ananubhutam, everything you experience in this. So, it is not something unexperienced. Whatever has been experienced, seen, perceived, heard in your this life, or whatever has not been perceived or heard in this life, but which would have been experienced or heard and seen in previous lives, that only comes in the becomes replayed again from your subconscious recording, and then replaying of that only as a dream. And who is that conscious being who is the experience of the dream? Manaha. And who is the experience then? Mind experiences whom? The conscious mind. I'm using the term conscious mind. I'm not simply saying the mind. Conscious being is the conscious mind, is the experiencer. Understand now? The conscious mind is the experiencer who experiences its own glories, its own mahima, its own beauty. And then, the important word you have to remember here is, the last word, sarvam pashyati sarvaha pashyati. The beautiful sentence used in the fifth mantra here, okay? The fifth mantra gives the answer for the third question, who is the experiencer? And we supply another question, what is the experienced? The experienced also is nothing but the glory of the mind. The mind experiences its own glories, its own reflection, its own manifestation, its own appearance. When you see, when I see the mirror, who do I see in the mirror? Themselves. Who is the seer of the eyes? Who is the seer of the eyes? That is okay. Relatively, I'm asking. Who is the seer of the reflected eyes? Reflect. I'm just asking a simple question. I'm going to bind it up. See, there's a reflected eyes. I use the word reflected eyes. Reflected eyes means it implies mirror. Okay? The reflected eyes are there in the mirror. Who is the seer of the reflected eyes? Eyes. Who is the seen in the mirror? Eyes. Eyes are seen by the eyes. The seen are also the eyes. The seer also is the eyes. In the same way, the seer of the mind, the seer is the mind, the seen also is the mind. Its own glories. Mind sees, its mind means the conscious mind, the conscious being mind experiences its own beauty, its own greatness, its own glories. Therefore, sarvam pashyati. What is seen there? The conscious mind sees what? Everything. Sarvam pashyati. Who sees? Sarvaha pashyati. Okay? Sarvaha pashyati means the one who is in the form of everything is the seer. The one who is in the form of everything is the seer. The one who is in the form of everything is the seen. Sarvam pashyati. Sarvaha pashyati. Sarvaha means the seer of everything is sarvaha. So one who is in the form of everything is sarvaha. Listen. One who is in the form of everything is sarvaha. So who is the seer? Sarvaha pashyati means what? The one who sees is the one who is in the form of everything. Okay. Now, what is this one who is from everything sees? Everything. It is a very beautiful sentence. Sarvaha pashyati. Say now. Sarvam pashyati. Anaitthumaha irikkinravan anaitthayum parkinran. The one who is in the form of everything sees everything. Some very important line. Please underline this. Memorize this line. Sarvaha pashyati. Sarvam pashyati. Sarvadrashta. Sarvam pashyati. Sarvaha pashyati. Sarvam is object perceived, experienced. Sarvaha is subject experiencer. Sarvaha pashyati, sarvam pashyati. Which means the one who is in the form of everything sees, the one sees everything. The one who is in the form of everything sees everything. The one who is in the form of everything sees everything. Abhartha, tannaye tan parthal, seeing one's own glories. Very beautifully, I'm going to understand. Seeing one's own glories, one's own beauty. When this mind, when you say the mind, which mind sees? Conscious mind. Conscious being. Mind is a conscious being. Now what is the difference between this and this? This also matter, this also matter. Isn't it? It's a conscious being. This is inert being. It's a conscious being. It's a being. You have to see that this is the being. There's no life. We don't have the buddhi to appear as a being, isn't it? Being means what? The be verb, isn't it? So Anything which enjoys existence is a being. This is also being, inert being, a conscious being. Inert being can never become the experiencer, seer. A conscious being is the seer. Actually, who plays the role of the experiencer in dream? It is the conscious being. Who is the conscious being? Mind. A conscious mind is the seer. And the conscious mind, the sees, who is known everything, sees the conscious, is the seer. Why? Because, how do you say mind is conscious? Because mind is never away from consciousness. Mind is inseparable from consciousness. Mind is inseparable from consciousness. Therefore, what now? It is always mind by itself has no consciousness. Mind is the only subtlest material, you know, where there is manifestation of consciousness. Because of the manifestation of consciousness in the mind, mind becomes what? Conscious mind. I told this, I think I mentioned this example long ago. See, the mirror in the dark room, all the walls are what now? Basically earthen, made of earthen products. It's a wooden house, or it is a the clay house, or brick made. The house is built with bricks. Whatever it is, the entire room is made of what? Earthen products. But in this, even though sun is above, the sun does not directly illumine this dark room. The room remains dark. Why? Sunlight does not enter into this room directly. But here, when you keep a mirror in front of the entrance, the mirror is also earthen. But the mirror has the capacity to reflect the sunlight. So the sunlight reflected by the mirror illuminates the dark room. Got the point? So who actually is the illuminator of the dark room? Sun is not the illuminator of the dark room. It is the mirror is the illuminator of the dark room. Isn't it? But you say, but can the mirror be the illuminator by itself without the sun? No. Therefore, we have to say what now? The illuminator is ultimately the sun only. But sun is not the illuminator. Sun is not the illuminator, but there cannot be the illuminator without the sun. Yes, you do don't stretch the example. Under the example as an example, don't come and ask which is mirror is separate outside, sun is above, like that. Just don't stretch it. Understand the logic there and we'll come to it. We'll proceed next later on. Is it clear? Go have your tea and come back.